Good morning, church. I looked at my husband, Austin, who's the lead pastor here, who's also with them at our annual meeting right now, serving as a delegate. I looked at him a month ago, and I said, so all the pastors are gone on June 30th. Who's preaching? And he looked at me, and he said, do you want to preach? And I thought he was kidding at first, but honestly, it's been really fun to prepare a message for you, and an honor to stand where he usually stands. And so this morning we're ending our series on Acts, where we've been looking at the book of the Bible called Acts of the Apostles to see what was happening as the early church launched and how here today we can follow the example that the church Jesus started. We've been reading about the trials of all the disciples and early Christians went through as they spread the word to Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. Last week, Austin talked about trials and how trials can often become our testimony. And today we're looking at the storms of life and how literal storms can relate to the storms of life that you and I may be facing. So as we come to the end of Acts, we see that storms are not the end. And I was reading through this scripture and I was reminded of a storm that I went through a few years ago. It was August 2021. Just days, actually, before Austin and I came out here to visit for the first time. And we were in West Virginia on the end of a really epic East Coast road trip. And we met some friends there, and we came across this ski resort that in the summertime has a lake and a lakefront and canoes and lifeguards. And so we thought, let's spend the day at the lake. This is awesome. So I, being the fun mom that I often become in the summertime because I love summer so much, had the grand idea to take my then 3 and 5-year-old, so my 2 youngest children, out on a canoe. Now, this lake was probably smaller than Pine Lake. It was not very big. And we were having a great time, and I was somehow managing a canoe with 2 small children. When all of a sudden I noticed that the clouds started to turn colors and a thunderstorm was rolling in. And so I realized I need to get back to shore. At the same time, a lifeguard came out on his jet ski to tell me, you need to get back to shore. And I'm like, great, he's going to help me get there. No, he left me there. And so I'm in the middle of this lake with a 3-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl. And I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. I need to get back. And so I tried with all my might to row across this lake. The kids were useless at this point. They were just like hanging out. And I ended up getting swept to 2 different shores. First, I got swept to the north shore, which wasn't too far from the west shore where I needed to go. So I thought, okay, I can do this. So I'm trying to get back to the west shore. Couldn't do it. And the wind really picked up then, and I started getting drifted, and I got stuck on the east shore of the lake. There was no hope for me at that point. I was about to give up. I was calling for help. I was like what I am right now. I was like shaking. I can't do it. And I don't have the best upper body strength, but I was trying so hard. And so I started calling for help, and I heard hikers in the woods not far from me, maybe 100 yards. And they were like, do you need help? And I'm like, yes, I do. I need help. And I was about to abandon the canoe in our bare feet, hike through the brush, through the woods to these hikers, and hike around the other side of the lake to get back to safety. Thankfully, it didn't come to this, because at the same point, same time, my husband's on the west shore yelling at the lifeguards to go help his wife and kids. And so the lifeguard finally did come back on his jet ski, towed us into safety, and all was well. But it was a scary time, and in our scripture today, we find Paul and 275 other men in a pretty similar situation, but in a very different kind of storm. And as we look at this and we look at the storm I went through, our big idea this morning is that the story continues through you and through me. So turn with me either in your physical Bible or your favorite Bible app, and let's read Acts 27, starting in verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed along close to shore. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called the Northeaster caught the ship and blew it out to sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed behind a small island named Kada, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat that was being towed behind us. Then we banded the ships with rope to strengthen the hull. The sailors were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Sirtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor and were thus driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. The terrible storm raged unabated for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Fair Havens. You would have avoided all this injury and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you keep and the hope that you give us, Lord. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing unto you this morning. Amen. So what I see in common between these two storms, my little canoe storm, and this massive northeaster that they went through, is that in the storm, our human response is to hopelessly grasp for control. I remember feeling hopeless and helpless against the wind in that canoe, even though I tried with all my might to get back to shore. I knew in my gut that somehow I would get out of that situation, but I wasn't sure how. I was prepared to abandon that canoe and walk barefoot halfway across the lake with my two youngest kids to get back to safety. And you see, the thing about storms is typically they come on quickly. In the Northwest, it feels like it rains forever, but usually they come on pretty fast and we're hopeless to control them. It reminds me of when we lived in Texas. Tornado season is from April to June, and tornadoes can touch down in an instant, and they can cause massive destructions in a short amount of time. Austin has stories when he grew up in Texas that he would go outside and watch the tornadoes from a distance, and he would only seek shelter when they were about half a mile away. No big deal. And that got me thinking, what are the storms in our lives that come up quickly? Right now, we're in a season of parenting three kids, and our two girls are 8 and 10 years old. And so we have storms every day in our house, and they are emotionally draining. I remember when our kids were babies and toddlers and I was in MOPS, and our mentor moms would tell us the early days are physical and they're physically demanding, and the later days are emotionally demanding. And I am just now in that beginning stage of the emotional, exhausting storm season. You see, my kids, whether it's conflict with each other, or they're having new emotions, or there's something going on at school, they can have days or even hours or even minutes. I had one last night with my 5-year-old that are just the worst day ever is what they say. This is the worst day ever. And I say, no, you've actually had a really great day. Remember, we went to the pool and then we went out for lunch and it's been really fun. You're just having a hard moment right now. Maybe you, as a mom, are handling yet another toddler tantrum or an emotional teenager. Maybe you're fighting with your spouse and some word is misunderstood and you're in a huge argument and you find yourself thinking, what are we even fighting about? Maybe you're having a conflict with a friend or a colleague at work. Maybe it's financial troubles or the loss of a job. The list goes on of all the storms that we face in our lives. And you see, the thing is, we're guaranteed storms. The good news is that storms don't last forever. They come on quickly, however, and if they're not handled well, or if, depending on how we react, they can cause major destruction in our lives. The good news is, though, we always have a choice. Whether we feel in control of the storm at that point, or we're completely out of control, we always have a choice. Maybe there's an action you can take, or maybe there's nothing you can do. But what I've learned is, in the storms of my life, you can always choose utter dependence and trust in God. And so looking back at verse 13, it says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed along close to shore. You see, these sailors were stubborn. They didn't want to stay in Fair Havens. It says in verse 12, they wanted to move up the coast about 40 miles to Phoenix, which was a more sheltered harbor. They were looking for a place to spend the winter, and Phoenix would be a better option than Fair Havens. It was also a bigger town with a lot more going on. It'd be like choosing to winter in, like, Carnation versus Seattle. These sailors were ready to get off the boat and have some fun, too. And so they went for it. The storm was brewing, and they decided to take control of the situation. But like myself in the canoe with two little kids, these sailors were told later in the book, it's 276 passengers and crew. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind. And so they also found themselves hopeless and helpless, and they gave up. What I love earlier is in verse 10, Paul warns them not to go. It says, men, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. That got me thinking, how often in our lives do we see a storm brewing and we just go for it? Even when it goes against our better judgment, or worse, when someone's warning us not to go. Maybe it's going out with friends to places you shouldn't be. Maybe it's dating someone you know isn't a good fit. Maybe it's making a career change that in your gut just doesn't sit right. Or maybe you're trying to control your kids' behavior when you know it's best to allow them to have a natural consequence. And so there we are as human beings. We're grasping for control when we realize that in the midst of the storm, we don't hide. We engage. We know very well that we can't control the weather as human beings, but we're called to respond to the storms instead of just ignore them. It's like that scene from the movie Twister with Helen Hunt, where they're literally driving towards the tornado. They want to learn more about these storms, and so they drive their pickup truck towards it. They abandon it. They strap themselves into safety so they don't get sucked up in the tornado as well. And then they watch as their pickup truck, with all their little flying sensors, gets picked up by the storm. And what's the result? New scientific data. They're engaging with that tornado. And while we're not all crazy scientists driving towards tornadoes, we're also not oblivious to when a windstorm hits the plateau or when a tornado touches down in Texas. We know that we have to act in the midst of a storm. And so looking at verses 18 and 19, it says, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. You see, these sailors, they realized quickly that they had to act and let go of some things if they were going to survive. Because in the midst of a storm, whether it's a literal storm or a storm going on in your life, a situation, nothing else matters. You're given this renewed perspective of what's really important in life and what things you can get rid of. These sailors literally tossed their livelihood overboard. The cargo that they were carrying was grain, and they would be paid for it upon arrival, and they didn't care anymore. The cargo had to go if they were going to survive. There goes their next paycheck. Then they threw the gear overboard, which is literally how they were going to control that ship. And they were saying, no more control. It's gone. It needs to go too. And so they let go of the gear. They became productive participants in what was happening to them. They weren't hiding under the deck waiting for something to happen or waiting for the storm to stop. They were not passive. They were productive. And in the same way, when we're met with the storms of life, we don't sit back and wait for God to work it all out, even if it feels like there's nothing we can do. We can pray. We can listen. We can discern, because we are active participants in the story and the kingdom of God, even if there's not an action you can actually take. Sometimes there is. We can help our kids through hard times, whether it's a toddler tantrum or an emotional tornado of a teenager. We can resolve fights with our spouse. We can handle conflicts in relationships at school or at work. And I'm not saying this is easy. We have to work towards it all the time, continually. It's like how these sailors were trained for storms. They were not an anxious mess. They knew what to do. I would be an anxious mess. I would be hiding under the deck. But they were trained, and they knew what to do. You see, in a storm, when we let anxiety take control, it can wreak havoc. If you've seen the new movie Inside Out 2, you meet the character Anxiety. And there's a scene, spoiler alert, sorry, she is running circles around Riley's brain. Riley's the main character. Anxiety is literally in her head, running circles around the control panel. And at that same time, Riley is sitting there having a panic attack because anxiety is in control. Because anxiety isn't helpful. It makes the issue bigger than it is. And trust me, I know anxiety well. Many of us deal with it, myself included. And the trauma that we've gone through from storms, I'm there too. But in that moment, anxiety is no longer in control of the control panel. They pull her away. Riley, in her panic attack, starts to breathe, and she's working through it. And I've worked through it with counselors and tools, and if anxiety is something that a storm brings on, I pray that you would do the same. But we also know that in the midst of a storm, we need God's word. And we need the fellowship of believers to help us in the midst of the storms and to carry us through them. You see, these storms don't last forever. And the good news is that when the storm breaks, his promise remains. I love it when a storm is over and it gives way to a rainbow. It happens a lot in Texas after tornadoes or a thunderstorm. I've even seen it running along East Lake Sammamish. There's been a rainbow after the storm. And as Christians, we know that rainbows symbolize God's promise that he would never send another flood to destroy all the earth. But God didn't promise that we will never experience storms. He did the opposite, actually. He promised we will experience storms. He said, in this world, we will have trouble, but do not fear, for he has overcome the world. What he has promised is he will be with them. He will be with us during the storms. There's a song by Maverick City Music, and there's a line in there that says, sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he lets it rain. But he's with us in the storm. And so looking back at verses 23 to 26, it says, for last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. You see, this is good news. They are not going to lose their lives. Their story would continue. But he didn't say it was going to be easy. He did say that you will be shipwrecked. They have to make it to ground by running aground. And the storms in our lives, they can wreck us. They can cause trauma. They can cause anxiety. They can cause us to lose everything, but we will survive because our God is so faithful. And sometimes I've learned that when you're in the midst of a storm, like these sailors, you have to rely on the past faithfulness of God to get you through the current situation. Or sometimes you have to rely on your fellow believers' faithfulness, and that will carry you through the storm. I really love what Paul says here. He says, I believe God. He doesn't say, I believe in God. Because every demon in hell agrees with the existence of God. But Paul, in this moment, he declared his total confidence in God's knowledge of this situation and God's promise in this situation. He believed that God would say what he said and that that would come true. And what are the promises to God for us? God promises never to leave us or forsake us. He promises that he's with us until the end of the age. And he promises that we are his masterpiece. You see, we are the continuation of the books of Acts. This story continues through you and through me. And we are the storms that we've been through, or will go through, or we've just gotten out of. Because whether you're in a storm right now or not, one is coming. Or you have a story to tell of one you got out of. But the storm isn't the end of the story. Nor is this book of Acts the end of the story of the kingdom of God. But this story of the kingdom continues through you and through me. And so how will you weather the storm that you find yourself in? Will you be an active participant in the story he's writing? And I can promise you this, the storm that you're in right now will end. And we will all go through storms in our lives. We know that. And God will see us through them. Will you stand with me as we pray? Holy Spirit, thank you for the ways that you're working in our lives. Thank you for the storms that we've been through and the faithfulness and the stories we can tell as you've gotten us through them. God, you've been with us this morning. We take a breath and we open our ears to hear. What do you want to say for us? God, your word is for me. It's not for our job. It's not for our parenting. But Lord, what are you saying to me this morning? Holy Spirit, we are yours. As we walk out into this world, as we face storms, as we survive them, God, I pray that you would continue to work through them and to show us the promises that you have for us. We are yours. Have your way in us. Amen.